From WNYC Studios, this is The Sporkful, bonus edition. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. It's a bonus Sporkful, which means it's not like a regular Sporkful, and in fact, it isn't really going to be The Sporkful at all. Recently, I was very honored to be asked to fill in as host of The Leonard Lopate Show. Leonard's been on the air on WNYC for over 30 years. His show is one of the best known and best loved shows in all of public radio, and so it was a really big deal for me to get to sit in Leonard's chair and host his show for one day. And right now, I'm going to share with you one segment from the show that we did. This is all about bagels. And I think you'll find that no matter where you get your bagels, no matter where you eat your bagels, the controversy over bagel toasting is real. The issues around bagel resuscitation are serious. And we're going to address them all right now. Enjoy. I'm Dan Pashman, host of the Sporkful Food Podcast here at WNYC, in for Leonard Lopate today. New York Magazine deemed 2015 the year of the bagel, and recently we have seen some pretty big bagel news, friends. Earlier this week, Daniel Thompson, the man who brought bagels to the mainstream with his automated bagel machine, passed away. And earlier this month, Murray's Bagels in Manhattan reversed a longstanding policy. They got a toaster. And they will now toast your bagels. This decision sparked some serious controversy. The website Gothamist suggested real New Yorkers don't toast, with the headline, "The traitors at Murray's will now toast transplants bagels." So, when is it okay to toast a bagel, if ever? Joining me now by phone is Kenji Lopez, alt managing culinary director of the website Serious Eats, and author of the new book, The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science, out this week from Norton. Hi, Kenji.
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. And joining me here in studio is Smitten Kitchen blogger and author Deb Perlman. Hey, Deb.
Hi.
Kenji, my friend, let's begin with you. You recently wrote the Good Bagel Manifesto on Serious Eats, where you discussed bagel toasting at great length.
Yes.
Let's get right into it here. Should bagels be toasted?
No, they should not be toasted. A good bagel, I think, and anybody who's lived in a city that has great bagels, New York, Montreal, places like that, a good bagel has a really, really short half-life. You have to eat it within about maybe an hour after getting it from the bagel shop. Actually, about an hour after it comes out of the oven at the bagel shop. So you really need to go to the source to get a great bagel, because that's the only time when the bagel's going to have that contrast between that crisp crust and that sort of doughy interior, dense doughy interior. And when you toast a bagel, I call toasting the great bagel equalizer, because it makes every bagel, whether it's a terrible bagel or a really great bagel, pretty much the same, because it reduces that contrast. So what it does is I think toasting will eliminate all forms of great bageliness from a bagel. And therefore, I recommend not toasting a bagel. The only exceptions are if, A, you don't have access to great bagels and you still want a bagel, well, then, yes, you can get a bagel from wherever, the supermarket, toast it, and you'll get, a very distant shadow of a good bagel experience.
Right. So what you're saying really, Kenji, essentially is it's okay to toast a bad bagel, you say, to make it better, but you should never toast a really good bagel.
Yeah, exactly. Toasting a bad bagel to make it better is okay. Toasting a good bagel will eliminate everything that made that bagel good.
All right, and I want to hear more about the science of what made it good in a minute, but Deb, I want to get your take. To toast or not to toast?
I am 90% in favor of not toasting bagels. You know, bagels here are so good. They're fresh, they're warm, almost around the clock. There's no reason that you should have to add texture to it. However, I don't just eat food the way I'm supposed to, or the way food experts tell me to, even if they're probably right. There is about 10% of the time that I actually do appreciate even a fresh bagel. Everyone, just cover your ears. Toasted, sometimes even with salted butter. I mean, just totally untraditional. So,
can
as
you
I said,
identify it, the times? Like what conditions cause you to crave that specific bagel experience?
I'm usually under the weather, or maybe I was out really late the night before drinking chocolate milk or something.
Right.
But there are certain times where I need things a certain way, and I completely understand that scientifically there's no reason to destroy their perfect texture that somebody works so hard to create in the back through kettling and making it by hand and baking it in a really hot oven. But I also think that you should be able to have things the way you want, and I think it's kind of cool that Murray's has come around. I'm going to get so much hate mail. It's going to be awesome.
But It's interesting. It seems like when you crave comfort food, that's when you go for your toasted bagel with butter. Does that like trace back to your childhood?
Probably. I actually grew up in New Jersey, so that probably explains a lot.
Now
so,
the truth
you know,
comes out.
Yeah. So
I did too. It's okay.
You know, we would get bagels fresh once a week, but the rest of the week it would come from the freezer because that's where you store bagels, and you would. You know, my parents would actually pre-slice. Oh, God, let's all blame my parents for everything that went wrong. Here we go.
Do you want to lie down on this
here
couch here, Deb, while we talk about
your
issues
with
bagels?
So they would slice. They were slicers and then freezers. These days, I actually like to freeze them whole because if you rewarm them in an oven, they get really, you almost really get it. If you rewarm it whole, you really get a very close to fresh texture from the freezer.
Okay, we're going to get more into resuscitating bagels in a second, but let's go ahead and take a call from Dina in Columbus Circle. Dina, you're on WNYC.
Good afternoon. Yes. So this is the thing. I went to a lecture. There was a gal. She wrote this book called Supersize Me. And for every bagel, approximately, is equivalent to 5 pieces of bread. So it's very important if you don't want to be, you know, so blown up from a bagel. My thing now is to always, if I have a choice, I will toast my bagel. In fact, after the in Yom Kippur fast, our synagogue had a breakfast fast, and I took my bagel home and I toasted it because I just didn't want all those extra calories.
Wait, I don't understand how does toasting it remove the calories?
It doesn't stay in the system as long. That's one thing, okay, when it's toasted. And it burns a lot of the calories. When you toast something, you're taking off a lot of the dough.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. Dina, thank you for your call. Kenji, you're my food science guru. Is it true that toasting things removes calories?
It depends how much you toast it. If you toast it enough that you're burning it and you're actually combusting some of the energy in that bagel and releasing it into the atmosphere, then sure, you are, you know, energy is calories and you are removing calories. But I don't think anybody toasts their bagels that much. I mean, certainly it's not a significant amount. If you really want to remove, and I do agree with her that bagels are too big these days, but if you do want to remove calories from your bagel, you should do the old scoop and fill. But of course, then you just replace the dough with more cream cheese.
Yeah, that's a problem. I actually would instead recommend what I call bagel trifurcation, which is to make 2 horizontal slices and remove the center third disc. That way you still preserve some doughy interior. Let's take another call.
Yeah.
Lucas on Long Island, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hi, how are you guys? I grew up in the bagel business. My father had a bagel store for 30 years in Colmack, New York. It was called Bagel Chalet. It's still there, but he handed it off to a guy he worked with. But, you know, we would just have bagels in the house all the time. And as far as having those extra bagels, I know it was just mentioned, pre-slicing them and then freezing them and then being able to toast them right after. I think that, you know, really gives the bagel new life, and it's as if it was, you know, just brand new.
And Lucas, at the bagel store that your dad ran, did you guys allow toasting?
Not for a long time. No, we didn't have a toaster for a while.
Can you put your finger on what happened? Was it customer pressure? Why did the toaster get eventually purchased?
I think customer pressure, absolutely. You know, he had to get one of those big conveyor belt toasters to keep up with the demand.
Okay, well, thank you for your call, Lucas. Deb, are you able to pinpoint a moment in history when, what happened? Was it that a lot of people came from other places where they grew up eating bad bagels and they toasted them, and therefore they came to New York? And is it, as Gotham has suggested, we have transplants to blame for this problem?
I have to tread carefully, but I can definitely, it definitely seems like something, it's a necessity if you don't have New York bagels around. It's something that is the norm if you grew up with grocery store bagels or any of the other bagels that are often not even boiled anymore, which by definition should mean that it's not a bagel. But so I think that it's something that's a necessity when you do not live in New York City.
Okay. And Kenji, drop some science on me. What exactly happens to a bagel when you toast it?
Well, there's a couple of things. So the primary one is dehydration. So you're driving off some of that moisture, and that's what's going to give you that sort of crisp surface crust. And then the other one is the Maillard reaction. The browning reaction that gives it that brown color. It also sort of creates some more of those sort of toasty, sweet, complex flavors. Those are the two basic things going on.
And so what are the properties of a really great fresh bagel that are damaged by the toasting process?
Well, the problem is that, so I think a really great fresh bagel has a ideal crust to interior ratio. And I'm talking a bagel that's fresh enough that the exterior, that shiny, smooth, blistered crust is still crispy. So when you're eating a fresh bagel, you know, you're getting that nice, soft, dense interior, but you're also getting that little bit of crust around the edges. And I think that, you know, fresh bagel has the ideal ratio. When you add a toasted surface, you're eliminating some of that interior in order to make more crispness. And, you know, at that point, I say, why don't you just go buy a bag of bagel chips?
Oh, snap. Excuse me, I'm talking with Kenji Lopez, Alt Managing Culinary Director at the website Serious Eats and author of the new book, The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science, out this week from Norton. I'm also joined here in studio by Deb Perlman, who is the blogger and author of the Smitten Kitchen Cookbook. Let's go back to the phones. Lisa in East Brunswick, you're on WNYC.
Hi, I grew up in the New Jersey, New York area and grew up with parents who grew up in Brooklyn, and it is forbidden to toast a bagel in our house. And my dad also forbids light cream cheese. And I do have to admit, if I really am craving a bagel, you definitely need either Tempty or real Philadelphia cream cheese, and lots of it. But my husband's also from Boston. He grew up with horrible bagels, and he insists on toasting bagels.
Right. Well, I lived in Boston. Thank you for the call, Lisa. I lived in Boston for 6 years, and I can attest to the subpar quality of the bagels there. And yes, I think if you grow up in a certain area, there's probably going to be a certain amount of nostalgia there. And if that's what you're nostalgic for, just like you, Deb, right? If that's going to scratch that nostalgia itch, then that might be what you're going to want, even if it's not the
best. I think you should eat food the way you want it to. It's your food. But I understand the... You know, when a bagel is really great, and you know, when Kenji was talking about that perfect texture inside, a really great bagel has this dense sort of chewiness inside, but you can still really easily bite through it. And if you add a toasted level to that, you're really taking a lot of that away.
Right. Let's pivot a little bit because I want to talk. You also have covered recently on Serious Eats, Kenji, the what to do with a day-old bagel. Let's say you have day-old bagels in your house. Obviously, toasting is one option if they're already day-old and no longer fresh, even if they were great at one point in their lifetimes. What's something else that I can do with older bagels to resuscitate them?
Well, this is something I'm sure you're familiar with because it's in your book. you know, I think the best way to resuscitate an old bagel is to actually toast it whole.
Interesting. Don't slice it before you toast it.
Exactly. Yeah, you want to put it straight into a toaster oven or straight into a hot oven. And if it's actually old enough that it started to dry out a little bit, then I use your tip, which is to run it under some hot water first. I live in California where there's a drought, so I don't leave the water running. So I just get a bowl of hot water, drop the bagel in there, leave it for about 30 seconds, flip it a couple times, and then go straight into the oven. And yeah, in just a few minutes, it comes out almost as if it was fresh. Not quite, but almost.
All right, well, that is a great tip. Do you have, is there something you like to do? We have about 30 seconds, Deb. What's something that you would like to do with bagels that doesn't involve resuscitating them?
I actually make I'm possibly not very traditional, but I put a New York bagel breakfast casserole in my first cookbook where you basically use croutons, but the croutons are your day-old bagels.
Gotcha. Very nice.
Which is a nicer way to use them up.
I've been speaking with Deb Perlman, author of the blog Smitten Kitchen and the Smitten Kitchen Cookbook. Deb, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And Kenji Lopez, Alt Managing Culinary Director of Serious Eats and author of the Food Lab column. He also has a new book out now. It's called The Food Lab, Better Home Cooking Through Science. And Kenji's going to stick around for a debate after the break about eggless mayo. Stay tuned. So that's my crack at doing a little bit of live radio on WNYC. That segment you heard me tease with Kenji Lopez-Alt about mayo, that'll be a bonus show for another time, so stick around for that. Thank you to Leonard Lopate, Melissa Egan, and the entire staff of the Leonard Lopate Show. They were fantastic to work with. Remember that the Leonard Lopate Show is available as a podcast. They cover a lot of food. They do arts and culture and news and politics. You can get the Leonard Lopate Show podcast wherever you got this podcast. This show is a production of WNYC Studios and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani and me. Special thanks to Paula Schumann. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Nora from Taylor, Texas, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.